ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
A couple of days ago was one of the toughest days I've had in my career. I was in a very, very dark spot. I hated this sport, and here we are 2 days later, and I'm feeling great about myself, so it's incredible.
Alex Diminor reflective after winning his first match of the ATP Finals in Turin. The straight sets victory over Taylor Fritz was enough to qualify the world number 7 for the semis. Rewind to just a few days ago and the Australian wasn't quite so upbeat after a brutal loss to Lorenzo Musetti. Can he harness the roller coaster of this sport and channel it into preparing for a huge summer of tennis at home? And it's AFLW semi-finals week. Demons versus Crows, Hawks versus Blues. It's do or die footy, so who makes it through? I'm Poppy Penny and this is ABC Sport Daily. Alex Diminor has made it through to the ATP Finals in Turin thanks to a straight sets victory over Taylor Fritz, but the path there was not easy. Peter Johnston is a former ATP player and is now a tournament director around Australia and Asia. Peter, we heard Diminor talking after his loss to Lorenzo Musetti earlier in the week, and he was flat. Can you give us some insight into where he would have been mentally after that match?
It's been such a roller coaster this week, but as you said, early in the week when he'd lost the match to Lorenzo Musetti, and here he's in Turin, 14,000 people, all pretty much on Musetti's side, and he'd already lost to Carlos Alcaraz prior. I think he was thinking, goodness, you know, how can I make this breakthrough? And, you know, he's got this string of losses against the top 10 guys all weighing on him, and it's the end of the season.
I think it's probably a good thing I don't express my feelings right now because they're quite dark. To be honest, it just feels like it's been that type of year where I've had what feels like a lot of matches that should have gone my way and just somehow don't. So, yeah, I mean, don't feel great.
Then, you know, he was so frank in his press conference and talked about how tricky this all was for himself to deal with. And I think the way he's responded and beaten Fritz last night and now gotten himself a place in the semis is probably testament to just, I think, how he is as a competitor overall, like week in, week out. Like, he can pick himself up off the canvas.
Regardless of the result today, I had made peace with myself. And that was a big moment. More than anything, it felt good to play on my terms.
That's one thing too with the stage that's in Turin. It's a massive stage. It's full house every session. It can give him that extra lift. And I think it just shows what an incredible character he has to dig this deep.
What a steal. And he could be in business here. This match is driving Fritz crazy right now.
He's spoken previously about how tough the schedule is. He's spoken about feeling a little bit burnt out, having very little time off. And you kind of fast forward to today and all of those conversations are almost fallen by the wayside as he seemed a little bit more chipper than he was a couple of days ago. He sort of had come to peace with how this tournament was going and he's now through to the semi-finals. He, as I say, was a little bit more upbeat post the victory.
Yeah, I've dealt with a fair bit of heartbreak recently. It was good to finally get a win here in Turin. It was good to get a positive reward for the hard work, so very happy with the performance today.
That is a real turnaround in like 4 days. How tough is the roller coaster of this sport when it swings this wildly?
It is, and especially at the end of the long year, and like there was only a few weeks ago, he was in Hong Kong contemplating whether he would be able to even compete for the rest of the year. He had this hip injury, and to qualify for the finals was a real feather in his cap because it also meant he was finishing year-end top 10. There was a lot of great things that happened for him in the last few weeks, if you like, in a long season. But the interesting thing, I think, with the ATP finals too is it's because it's round robin. You know, you have your group, and so you can actually lose. And he's actually qualified for the final four, having lost twice. And you don't get that in a week normally. It's one and done. Once you lose, you're gone. And so I think this is probably plays well to his resilience and character and his overall positivity about the next challenge. But I think we've seen the whole display of what makes up Alex Diminor on show. And, you know, looking forward to play Jannik Sinner, which not easy. Lost to him 14 times in a row.
It's back-to-back finals in Vienna for Jannik Sinner.
And this one-sided head-to-head with Dimitrov gets wider and wider in favour of the Italian.
But no one beats Alex Dimitrov 15 times in a row, I think is the mantra.
This is the last event of the season, as you mentioned, which means after this there is a bit of a break. But then we are not long into the summer of tennis here in Australia. And if Dimitrov is to potentially break through in 2026, how important will finding a balance be between the highs and the lows?
Well, he's always been pretty good at finding that balance. In fact, I was surprised how frank he was when he said after losing to Mazzetti that this has really gotten to him. It surprised me because he always seems so durable, but he's been around for a lot of years now. And I think it's always interesting when he comes into the Australian summer, we all have these high expectations. He's carried our flag for so many years. But I think when he comes in, sort of like he's going to finish year end, depending what happens towards the end of this week, he's not going to finish worse than sixth in the world for year end. And that's a great badge to carry around. And it also helps with his seedings at the Australian Open and, you know, I guess the self-belief. And, you know, he's done so many good things that he knows that he's earned his credit points, if you like.
What a victory. His first ever at the ATP Finals, and it keeps his hopes alive.
If he can rest up the body, he comes into the Australian summer probably in the best position that he's ever been in.
As you say, the bad news is that he runs into Jannik Sinner in that semi-final, but you've got to be in it to win it, and nobody beats Alex Dimitrov 15 times in a row. And we'll find out in a couple of days whether that's true. Peter Johnston, thanks so much for your time.
Pleasure, Poppy.
Gemma Bastiani is an AFLW guru and luckily is part of the ABC's call team. Gemma, week two of the finals kicks off tomorrow. Two games at Princes Park. I want to start with the first of those. Melbourne taking on the Crows. Two finals heavyweights, and so you wouldn't expect either to be overawed by this occasion. Melbourne have had to make a couple of changes. Who wins here and why?
Yeah, there's a real feeling to like that swayed towards Adelaide because of the injuries that Melbourne has suffered. And also that strange kind of dichotomy of them having lost last week but being the higher seeded team. So there's this kind of feeling that this is Adelaide's game to lose. I'm still swaying towards Melbourne because their best footy, I think, has been better than what Adelaide's has.
Now it's Kate Hoare in the forward line. The D's have looked good so far. In the opening stages of this qualifying final, she puts it towards goal. And here's the moment for Kate Hoare.
But the loss of Eden Zanker in the forward line for Melbourne is a huge concern.
So Eden Zanker to move to equal third for the season on goals. Starts 45 out. Short approach. Excellent strike. And never in doubt. Zanker's got four.
They need others to step up in that role. Lauren Pearce actually went forward a little bit last week when Zanker went out with concussion to try and stretch the defence again. So if Melbourne's rucks, Lauren Pearce and Georgia Campbell, can actually step up and actually do that job, I think they will win. But a lot is leaning on those two. Adelaide, though, they get Chelsea Randall back last week and she completely changes their side. So she's kind of the wild card for the Crows coming into this one. I think this one is won or lost between the arcs, though.
The Crows are the only team who are having to travel for this final series. Is that at all a factor, do you think?
I wouldn't have thought so. If travel from WA is a really different story to travel from Adelaide. Also, the Crows are such an experienced, well-drilled team. I don't think that would bother them at all. The bigger factor, I think, is probably the Eden Zanker absence, I would say.
The second match on Saturday has the injury hit Hawks up against Carlton, who thumped the Eagles in shocking conditions last weekend. Can the Blues take advantage of the kind of banged up condition that the Hawks come into this game in? Or can the Hawks find their best footy to make it through to a prelim to potentially give an opportunity for some of those players who are injured to come back at a really important time?
This one feels a little bit more cut and dry from the outside. Carlton, they're not just coming up against a banged up side and also have zero injuries themselves, so have their exact best team to pick from. The other part of it is Carlton is just full of momentum, full of confidence.
As the siren sounds, and the Blues with a dominant display in the elimination final. They book a date against the Hawks in the semi-finals. Their first win in the postseason in 5 years. Carlton by 41 points.
So the way that they're playing their footy, they're just backing themselves in. And if we look back to round two when these two teams played, it was an 8-point margin in the end, but that was kind of stretched because Anya McDonough in the last couple of minutes got a free kick, kicked a goal. It was an arm wrestle before that. And the thing that has shifted is Carlton has found its groove and Hawthorn's dropped away.
And the freight train that is North Melbourne just keeps rolling on to a 25th consecutive win. Well, for Hawthorn, they'll be playing next week.
So the big thing that Hawthorn has kind of done is they've gone into their shells, played really defensive football. And I think Carlton have enough confidence in themselves now to play attacking footy, even when the opposition is trying to be really negating to them. And I think that's what people want to see, is that fun attacking footy. And it's something that Carlton wants to bring. And I think Sophie McKay is the X factor in this one.
As the intercepting mark is taken by Good of the Blues. Kicks inside 50. Thomas down low, can't take the mark. Sophie McKay with a kick towards full forward. But Hannah, did you get a hand to it? It rolls towards the goal mouth and has gone through. Sophie McKay with her second goal of the match.
You touch on the fact that these two teams did play earlier this year. And for people who aren't super familiar with the W competition, they might not know, not every team plays every other team because of the shortened season. How much of an advantage is it that these two teams have matched up, albeit back in round two, but will there be an advantage that they have played each other this year?
The advantage probably falls in Carlton's favour because they know what didn't quite go right, how close they did get, and how much they've improved since.
A win for the Hawks. That's two from two in the new season for the brown and gold.
For Hawthorn, it's more just the state of where their team is. They had almost their perfect team to select from in round two, only got over the line by 8 points on their home ground in Frankston. And it was a really inaccurate game. And that was kind of where the holding the ball conversations kind of blew up as well. So Hawthorn came out of that not super happy with how they won that game. And things haven't changed for them since. Whereas for Carlton, they might have lost that, but they've gone on this tear since and they've found their best footy. They beat Brisbane the week after, kicked 5 goals in the second quarter. So they found their attacking footy and that was kind of the impetus of it, that game where they just couldn't quite hit the scoreboard. So I think for Carlton, it's a huge advantage. For Hawthorn, maybe not so much.
Momentum can be everything in footy and especially in finals. So we're looking forward to a big weekend. Gemma Bastiani will be part of the ABC's team calling the action on the ABC Listen app on Saturday. Gem, enjoy the footy.
Thanks, Poppy.
Soundbites. The title fight in Formula One between McLaren teammates Oscar Piastri and Lando Norris might rage on, but at least the two are still friends off the track, as proven by this not at all prompted by their media manager birthday wish from Oscar to Lando.
All right. It's Lando Norris's birthday today. Happy birthday. I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you are now 2 years older than me once again. So yeah, you're the old man of the team. Enjoy your day and I will see you soon, no doubt.
Many happy returns. Australian Jack Della Maddalena is back in the UFC octagon this weekend up against Russian fighter Islam Makhachev, who had some fighting words for his opponent from down under.
And just last one for Islam. This is the third time in your career that you're facing an Australian. What's your final message to Australian fans back home?
Australia, it's a good place. I was there, I like it, and now it's a 3-0. I will make 4.
Australia is all the way behind you, Jack. Honesty is often the best policy, but for Philadelphia Eagles AJ Brown, being honest about his current frustrations with his on-field role on a Twitch stream might have landed him in a little more hot water than he intended.
Hey. If you got me on fantasy, man, get rid of me.
Did you catch that? If you've got me on fantasy, get rid of me. A bit of free fantasy coaching advice at best, a very frustrated wide receiver at worst. I'm Poppy Penny and this is ABC Sport Daily, produced by Phil Pryor. Thanks to Tennis TV, The Tennis Channel, Channel 7, McLaren Formula 1, Main Event and Janky Rondo on Twitch for the extra audio used in this episode.
Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.